Great. Well, John 14, verses 8 to 21. Philip said to him, Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live. You also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Over to Tom.
Great. Well, thanks, Tom, and thanks for joining us this lunchtime, everybody. It's lovely to have you with us at the St. Nick's Talks. Do please keep that passage of the Bible open, and there's an outline of what I'm going to be saying on the back of the handout that you handed as you came into the room. Now, the question we're considering this lunchtime is this: how can anybody know the Father? How can anybody know the Father God who made them? How can anybody know the Father? As Thomas said, this lunchtime we're beginning 4 weeks down here in John's Gospel, and our focus is going to be on this section, what's called the Upper Room Discourse, this final block of teaching that Jesus gives to his disciples on the night he's betrayed, what's called the Upper Room Discourse. One commentator talks about this section as a guide to take his disciples through the dark skies of Jesus' arrest, crucifixion, and death. And a moment thinking about it tells us it must have been a terrifying time to be a disciple of Jesus, mustn't it? 3 years now they've been with Jesus. 3 years they've been listening to Jesus. He's their teacher. He's their friend. He's their Lord. And yet this very evening, he'll be snatched away from them, the Lord Jesus, and they'll be left all alone, or so they think, as history charts its course. No wonder, verse 1, their hearts are troubled. Wouldn't yours be? Wouldn't mine be? And we're going to be picking up the action just as Philip asks Jesus a question. Verse 8, just before you go away, Lord, please will you show us? Won't you show us the Father? Won't you please show us the invisible God who made us? Just before you go away, Lord, please will you show us? Verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, says Philip, and it is enough for us. Now, the question comes in context, I think, from what has just been said by Jesus, from this claim in verse 7 that's just been made by Jesus. The question comes in context from what's been implied by Jesus. Verse 7, if you know me, then you know my Father, says Jesus. Verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And yet it is, I'm going to suggest, a question that is relevant for all of us. However can we know the God who made us? However can we know the invisible God who stands behind reality, the unseen God who offers life to us? And of course, you're going to need to know God in order to understand life, particularly if he made you, particularly if he gave life to you. We really need to know God. But how's that going to happen? That's our question for this lunchtime. However can we know the God who made us? However can anyone know the God who stands behind reality? The God who made us, loves us, knows us, the God who saved us. And you'll see from on the handout that I'm going to suggest there are three ways we learn in these verses that this can ever come to be. Three stages, if you like. Three means by which anybody from any background can come to know the God who made us. And right at the center of the answer, you might not be that surprised to see, point one is Jesus, who's revealed the Father to us. How can anybody know the Father? Point one, well, by looking at Jesus. Have a look down again at verse 8. Philip said to him, to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Now, it's possible at this point, I think, as readers, to have some sympathy here with Philip. After all, Jesus is the Son, we know that. But Philip, verse 7, verse 8, even wants to know the Father. That is, he wants to know his Father God, the one, we've said, who made us, the God enthroned in heaven, who watches over and sustains us. And you don't need me to tell you that knowing a man's Son, of course, doesn't mean you know him, the Father. Take my dad and me. Okay, there are quite a lot of differences between us. He's short, I'm tall. He's rich, I'm thin, and I am deeply handsome. If you want to know my Father, you really need to see him. I should say that when I first gave this talk, someone said, "You should really point out at that point that you're making a joke." So I was making a joke. He is also deeply handsome. But if you want to know my dad, you need to see him. And yet, you see, it's not like that, is it, with Jesus and his Father? Did you spot that in verse 9? If you see the Son, verse 9, you actually see him, God. In fact, there's a kind of unity, if you like, between this Son and this Father that is quite unique. Oh, Philip, says Jesus, you've already seen him. Verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? We're totally inseparable, me and my Father. In fact, he says something similar in verse 11, doesn't he? Verse 11, believe me, says Jesus, that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Do you see what he's saying there? The many works of Jesus show that he is in the Father. They don't just share a postcode or a name. Jesus shares the full authority. He shares the full power of his Father. Jesus does the stuff that you might ordinarily think applied to him, to God. One example of this, I mean, it's difficult, isn't it, if you dip in midway through a book, but take the example of chapter 9 of John's Gospel. Okay, remember chapter 9? Jesus opens the eyes of a man born blind. How does he do it? He makes mud with his saliva from the dust of the ground. Like God made Adam, Jesus does the stuff you might ordinarily think is only done by him, the invisible God. You see, Jesus, verse 11, is in the Father. Jesus is the Son of God the Father. You want to know the Lord? Well, you need only to look at him. Jesus, we might say, is God con carne. That is, he is the Son of God with meat on. That is what con carne means. I don't mean Jesus is a ragu. He is the Son of God with meat on. And if you'd have lived with Philip, you would have seen him. It would have been extraordinary, wouldn't it? Just popping down to Lidl. Who'd you see in the middle aisle? The God who created the universe, taking on human flesh. If you'd lived with Philip, you'd have seen him. And yet, here's the thing. We didn't see the Son of God the Father, did we? The Word made flesh. You and I never saw him. We didn't live with Philip. In fact, Jesus went back to his Father long before you and I could get the opportunity to see him. So how can we know God? Well, secondly, second heading down there on the handout, we can know him by hearing Jesus' words. Have a look again at verse 8. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, Philip, and you still don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" Here's the key verse. "The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works." It's a very puzzling verse, verse 10, isn't it? First half, the works of God the Father. Second half happened through the words of Jesus. "For his works," see words. Words spoken by God the Son. Or we might say the works and words of Jesus are both those of his heavenly Father. God works through words, as right from the beginning of the Bible, he always has done. But the point is this: what reveals God is not simply the works of Jesus. It's not just his miracles or his healings or so on, the amazing things that he could do. No, behind those things stand Jesus' words. Words, verse 10, given him by God his Father. And in fact, it is by those words that Jesus has been working all along. The Spirit gives life, he's already told us. The flesh counts for nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are full of the Spirit and life. As part of my preparation for this series, I've really enjoyed rereading this book by Christopher Ash, Hearing the Spirit. It's the kind of book that looks interminably dull. It is unbelievable to think that somebody got paid to design this cover, and I have no idea what a blue sky and three or four sort of aeroplane trails has to do with Hearing the Spirit, but nevertheless, it's a great book. And he has, in this book, a section on this whole dynamic, Jesus' works and words. Just listen to this. "It was not by his physical appearances that Jesus revealed his Father, for all the evidence suggests that he looked just like a lot of other men of his race and culture. His cousin, John the Baptist, had to point him out, otherwise no one would have noticed him when he mingled with the crowds." Have you ever thought about that? If you sort of lined Jesus up in an identity parade with other people of his race and culture, you wouldn't have been able to pick him out as the Son of God. He goes on, "Nor was it by his miracles that Jesus made the Father known. Or at least not the miracles by themselves, because a miracle worker could go around doing all sorts of extraordinary things. But unless those miracles were explained, they would mean nothing. Could have just been doing a few party tricks." Here's the conclusion. "It was neither by his physical appearance, nor even by his miracles, that Jesus made the Father known. Rather, it was by his words." Now look, we might want to refine that slightly, okay, in the light of verse 11. So verse 11, seemingly, you can believe to some extent on the basis of his works. Verse 11, you can think about that later. But the point stands true. The way that the Son reveals his heavenly Father is not just through his works, it's through his words. Verse 10 again, "The words," says Jesus, "that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. And I think it's worth just taking stock at this stage on how all of this helps us to know God the Father. Because we're learning, you see, that you can know truly God the Father, the God who created you, so long as you have access to Jesus' words. Even though we never saw the Son, even though we never saw the Son who came down from the Father, Jesus' words give us light. All we need to know God is Jesus' words. I mentioned a few moments ago the healing of the blind man back in chapter 9 of John. And I absolutely love what Jesus says there. Have you ever thought about this? I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Have you ever thought about what that shows in terms of God? It shows us the God who made us is a God who wants what's best for us. He wants to love us. He wants to protect us. That's one thing it shows. It shows that the God who made us is a God who actually cares for us. He wants to give us life. That's what it shows. I wonder if you've ever discovered that for yourself. Oh, despite not seeing Jesus, I can come to know his Father because as the Son of God, Jesus has revealed him through his words. Despite not knowing Jesus, I can know about his Father for so long as I have access to Jesus' words, to a Bible. And yet there's one more thing I want to say, point three, about how we can know the Father. And there's one more thing I think Jesus says here about his words, because he says, those, point three, who keep my words, receive the Holy Spirit. That means God lives in you by his Spirit through his words. And we're going to come back to this in future weeks, so we'll just have a taster now. But have a look down again at verse 15. If you love me, says Jesus, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Verse 18, he goes on, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. We're going to come back to the tricky verses 12 to 14 in future weeks. Now, what Jesus seems to promise here is verse 16, a helper. That is, somebody like Jesus who's also going to make the Father known. Another one, verse 16, like Jesus, who this time is going to come and live in his disciples. And through this one, Jesus himself will be made fully known. Verse 21, end of verse 21, I will love him, says Jesus, speaking of his disciples, and manifest myself to him. As I say, we're going to come back to this in future weeks. But the point is this, opens up a new depth of relationship, doesn't it? A whole new kind of way in which God the Father can be known. Because you see, we don't just know about him now, if we're followers of Jesus. Now, in a real sense, verse 23, and again, we'll come back to this next week, God has made us his home. He's moved in with us. We can know him personally. Oh, the person who loves Jesus, verse 15, the person who keeps Jesus' commandments, gets Jesus' Spirit, he says, who this world will never know. The Spirit shows us Jesus. Jesus shows to us his Father. Our Creator God, our Father, can be truly known. I just love verse 17. Don't you? Verse 17, those four or five words at the end. He will be in you. We're not talking here about distant knowledge of a dodgy, distant father. We're not just talking about information for us to learn. This isn't sort of like revising for your RSA level or something. No, Jesus is offering you deep personal knowledge of a loving Heavenly Father, one who gave his son to die because he loves us so. And so I guess the question as we close is, do we really want to know the Father? Do we want to know this God who loves us so? Because what we're learning here is that we'll never learn about him just through flicking through Wikipedia. No, first, it's going to involve loving Jesus and listening to his words. Verse 15 is so striking, isn't it? The implications of that. You can be a bishop, you can be a theologian, and not know the first thing about God. Verse 15, true knowledge of God begins by loving Jesus and obeying his words. And Jesus is saying to us today, if you do love me, love Jesus. If you love the Son who's in the Father, if you listen to me, Jesus is saying, if you keep my words, well then get this, says Jesus, you already know the Father. He lives in you by his Spirit through my words. Verse 8, that question one more time. Lord, says Philip, show us the Father and it is enough for us. Jesus answers, you're quite right, Philip. It is enough to see me and to have my words. Let me pray, then I'll hand back to Tom. Thank you, loving Heavenly Father, that you have made yourself known in and through the Lord Jesus. Thank you that your only Son took on flesh that we might know you truly. And we thank you that in knowing you truly, we find true life, life as it was meant to be. And so we pray that you give us great confidence that we do know you insofar as we know the Lord Jesus. And we pray that in this city, and through our humble efforts, you would make yourself more fully known. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.